Alleluia, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. I'm going to start this morning with a confession. Preaching at Pentecost is something I have always found very hard to do. This sermon took a long time of writing, rewriting, writing again, throwing it out. I finally finished it this morning. And even though I've preached on Pentecost many times, the reason for all of this is because when I come to try and preach on this, it feels too big. It's too amazing to try and put into words. The very idea that God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us always, it seems so amazing that I wonder if we can ever really get our heads round just how big and amazing this is. So this morning, I ended up turning to the book of Proverbs. And it talks about wisdom. And in Christian thought, when we talk about wisdom as presented in the book of Proverbs, we often think about the Holy Spirit. And it says this in Proverbs 8. "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago." And in Proverbs 9, it goes on to say this, "She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. You that are simple, turn in here. Eat of my bread, drink of my wine." Now, you could think that that line is a pretty good blueprint for the work of the church, except that most people don't think of themselves as being simple. But in this context, simple doesn't mean stupid. Simple means humble. Humble enough to know that we need God. Humble enough to know that wisdom starts with realizing how much we don't understand. St. Augustine once wrote, "When we are contemplating God, if we think we understand, then it's not God. God is always bigger than we can comprehend." So do we understand the value of the gift that we have been given? In many of his parables, Jesus talks about gifts that are beyond what we can imagine. He talks of stories of the pearl of great price, of the treasure buried in a field. In those parables, those who were part of the story realized that what could be gained was so great that they were willing to have been given the Holy Spirit, God's own wisdom to guide and strengthen us. Do we realize what we have been given? Well, let's think about those first disciples on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was and is a Jewish festival. It was originally to celebrate the first fruits of the harvest, And over time, it also became a festival celebrating the giving of the law to Moses at Mount Sinai. So I think God chose the festival of Pentecost very carefully when giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Spirit represents a new meaning of first fruits. Suddenly, it's not about harvest anymore. It's about people coming to realize that God is with us. And the giving of the law, well, that becomes the giving of God's very self, of being able to know God within ourselves. It's the fulfillment of a promise that we hear throughout the Old Testament. Think of these words from Ezekiel. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The heart of stone represents adherence to the law. Rigid, unbending, cold, only interested in the precise following of the rules. The heart of flesh is one that feels empathy, that understands mercy and can work with human frailty. This is the gift of the Spirit in place of the law. By it, we find that God speaks to us and we can discern what God's will is without needing to think about it in terms of the rules. I think this is why Jesus taught the crowds with stories rather than a list of do's and do nots. We are meant to reflect on the stories, what they mean, and through them we hear God's voice speaking to us, telling us how we are to live. Let's think again about that story from the book of Acts. The disciples knew that they had to wait for something. Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and wait. I don't think they had any idea what was coming. When the Holy Spirit arrived like fire, these simple people were given gifts far beyond anything they had ever experienced before. First and foremost, they were given the gift of breaking down barriers. The gift of speaking in different languages undoes that story of the Tower of Babel that we read about in the book of Genesis, when humanity, in its arrogance, built a tower up to heaven, and God, to stop them, makes them all speak different languages. Here at Pentecost, all of this is reversed. In humility, the disciples receive the gift of the Spirit, and the barriers that hold different peoples apart from one another are undone. Anyone who believes is welcome, no matter who they are, where they are from, or what they have done. Later on in the story, when Peter has delivered his remarkable speech, it says this: when the crowds heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is that simple. Think of wisdom saying, you that are simple, turn in here, eat of my bread and drink my wine. I sometimes wonder if we make the act of being church too complicated. Yes, of course, there are things that we need to do in order to function, to manage our resources, to plan our time. But the church is not its functions. To use the well-worn saying, we are human beings, not human doings. As we celebrate Pentecost and ponder the wondrous gift that we have been given, perhaps it's also good to ponder who we are in the light of that gift. How do we use the gift of the Spirit that has been given to us? Do we strive for those fruits of the Spirit that Paul describes in his letter to the Galatians? Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things that are nurtured in hearts of flesh. They're not rules that we follow. They are virtues that we nurture in our daily living. Sunday morning is when we gather together to share bread and wine and be sustained in our faith. But the rest of the week is when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live as Christians, full of love and joy and peace and patience, full of kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That was the point of Pentecost, of the giving of the Holy Spirit, that we might live in God's power day by day and show forth the fruits of that Spirit to the world around us. But actually, it takes time in the busyness of life to give ourselves space for those virtues to grow and develop within us, to hear God speaking to us. Remember that story of Elijah. God was in the silent wind, was in that place of quiet. Where do we find within our daily lives that space to listen and hear God's voice? If we want to thrive as a church, as a Christian community, it's vital that we take time to learn again how to do that, to hear God's voice speaking to us through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, all of us. It's only by God's power that we can grow as disciples, that we can shape the community around us and show what it means to live as God's people in this place. So as we get ready to go into ordinary time next week after Trinity Sunday, let's remember that there is nothing ordinary about it. It represents the time of the church, the time when we are empowered to show forth what it means to be people who follow Christ in our lives. So let's find the space in our daily lives to do that, to hear God's voice, and to allow those fruits of the Spirit to shine forth in everything we do.